The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
I'm going to have to figure out what to do while the music is playing and I'm standing. Because it's just not... See, I can't dance. I look like a rhino dodging bullets. And there's that embarrassing moment when people like me decide to dance. And it's all downhill from there, so... Well, good morning. We're continuing our series on a summer vacation, and today... Quit dragging your suitcase. I was going to spell it your, Y-E-R. Now, I needed to class the place up a little bit, so I went your. But we're going to talk today about guilt, freedom from guilt. So let's open up with a word of prayer, shall we? Father God, thank you. You're so good to us, God. Father, you have a life of freedom ahead of us. It's all there for us, but God, we drag our suitcase around. I pray that today you will give us freedom, that today you will lead us to a place where we rest in your love and your grace. Thanks, God. We ask it in your name. Amen. Now, I love watching people. My freshman year of high school, I had to play a guy named Bud Frump in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And The book declared him as kind of effeminate and kind of soft. And, of course, me being macho. Macho means three hairs or more on your chest. That's my definition. Anyway, I'm sitting in the laundromat doing my family's laundry. I was a freshman in high school. And I see this guy walk in. And I watched him for probably 20 minutes. And when I left that laundromat, I had my character. I had the mechanisms, I had the way he talked, I had everything down. So that guy, wherever he is, he never knew that somewhere, some chubby freshman with a limp was portraying him on stage for a couple hours. If you ever need entertainment, just go to any baseball stadium or what I really like, the airport. You ever go to the airport and you're like, you've got a layover or you're waiting for your flight? Just watch people. Put the book away. Put your phone away. Just watch people. You'll see families trying to keep track of six kids and seven carry-ons. You see businessmen sprinting through the terminal with a laptop bag, a roller bag, and a garment bag. Enough coffee to fuel a small nation. Then they're the people that have packed for a three-day trip like they're moving to another continent. But every once in a while, you'll spot someone struggling with a suitcase that weighs about as much as a Toyota. They're dragging it, they're red-faced, they're sweating, and as they drag it, it looks like it's filled with bowling balls. And somebody offers to help them. Here, I'll help you with that. No, thanks. You sure? Yeah, I'm fine. Now, they're clearly not fine. Now, imagine that same traveler dragging that heavy case to the airport after somebody has already picked it up and offered to carry it. That doesn't make any sense, does it? But spiritually, that's what a lot of Christians do. Jesus says, I'll carry your guilt. And we say, no, no thanks, Lord. I think I'll drag it around for another 20 years. I want you to discover something wonderful today. That is that God never intended his children to spend their lives hauling around the luggage of yesterday's sins. Okay? If you leave now, and don't, because I'll throw things at you and yell at you. If you leave now, you've got plenty. But me being me, I'm going to keep going. Let's have a vacation from guilt. Look at Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. Listen to this verse. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. We know something about that here in Imperial Valley, don't we? Interlude. I think you're supposed to dance right there. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And you forgave me. All my sin is gone. Understand, David is not writing about religious theory here. David's writing his testimony. David knew what it was like to live with hidden sin. In 2 Samuel 11 and 12, the whole sordid tale of David and Bathsheba is told. Bathsheba's taking a bath on the roof of her house one night, and David's looking out from the temple, and he sees her and says, "Oh, baby." So he commits adultery with Bathsheba. She ends up pregnant. Now, here's the problem. Her husband, Uriah, is leading David's army in war. So obviously, Uriah didn't get her pregnant because he wasn't home. So David sends for Uriah, has him brought back, and says, "Hey, you've done a good job. Spend the evening with your wife, you know, and enjoy yourself." He's trying to get some alibi going, right? But Uriah is too upright for that. Uriah says, "I will not sleep in my home, in my bed, when all of my men are sleeping on the ground." And he sleeps on the doorstep of his house. And David thinks, "Oh, crud." That person's not in the Bible, the "oh, crud" part, but I think probably whatever Hebrew is for "oh, crud," I think David said it. So he sends Uriah back to the battlefield, and he tells his other generals, "Put Uriah at the head of the battle, and then withdraw and leave him there." He has Uriah killed. See how sin just compounds itself? How you try to cover your sin, and it just gets worse and worse and worse? Uriah dies. Now, God's not going to let this go. So in 2 Samuel chapter 12, the prophet Nathan confronts him and tells him a story of a man who had he had 1,000 head of sheep. This guy has one sheep. This guy over here has one sheep. And he loves it. He takes care of it. It's his. And the guy with the thousands of sheep goes over and takes the man's sheep and kills him. And David, the king, flies into a rage. "You tell me who this guy is. You tell me. We will not let this go. You tell me who this guy is, and I will punish him. I'll have him killed." And then Nathan says one of the most brutal verses in the Bible. He looked at David and said, "You are that man." Wow. "You are that man." What a haunting verse. David spends months trying to pretend everything's fine. Like we said last week, "I'm blessed. This is good. I'm fine." But inside, he was falling apart. You ever feel like this? You don't want anybody to know how much you're struggling. If we put on our church face, "Yes. Yes, Jerry, bless God. Verily, I am blessed and the Lord is with me. I am highly favored." And inside, slowly but surely, everything's crumbling. Here's what you need to know. Hidden guilt will wear you out. Psalm 32:3. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away. I groaned all day long. Does that sound like fun? David's suffering. I refuse to confess my sin. He knows it's there. God knows it's there. But he refuses to confess it. Notice David doesn't describe God's punishment first. He describes his own misery because guilt is exhausting. Some people are physically tired because they work too much. Others are emotionally tired because they've been carrying guilt for years. They smile on Sunday, they laugh at work, they post happy pictures online, but underneath, they're carrying a weight nobody else can see. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. That's what guilt does. It drains our joy. It steals our peace. It robs us of our sleep. It affects relationships. It even affects our body. You ever tried carrying all the groceries into the house at once? You got like 7 bags. You have no idea where your keys are until you open the door. That's me a lot. Okay, you got the milk balanced under your chin, and you got the end of the bread bag in your teeth. Your fingers have turned purple, but you refuse to make 2 trips. Why? Because somehow 2 trips feels like admitting defeat. Open the back hatch on my Edge, I look at it and say, yeah, I can get all that in 1 trip. Why? Why? Some of us are living like that spiritually. We're carrying far more than we were ever meant to carry. And Jesus just keeps saying, you know, you could just let me carry that. Guilt is exhausting. But confession opens the door to freedom. Psalm 32:5. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. Stop right there. I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I'll confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Now, notice what's changed here. Not God. David. David is the one that's changed here. Look, confession isn't informing God of something he doesn't know. I'm going to confess my sin, Lord, like it's some new revelation to him. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Think about it. He knows everything. Where socks go in the dryer, God knows. You're not informing God of something he doesn't know. You're agreeing. It's agreeing with God about what he already knows. Confession isn't about making God willing to forgive. It's about becoming willing to stop hiding. Step out in the light. The hardest part of confession isn't talking to God. It's quitting the exhausting job of pretending. You with me? When we confess, we're basically telling God, okay, I'm done hiding from you. Here I am. We hide behind, oh, we say, well, I've got it under control. It wasn't that bad. Everybody does it. That's the one. That's the big one, right? Well, everybody does it. Nobody knows. But God already knows. And he still invites us to come. Think about this. God knows the intimate sins in your life, the things that nobody else knows, the things we're embarrassed to talk about. God knows them. And he still looks at you and says, come home. We worry so much. Well, if they knew the sin of my life, you know, everybody would reject me. They might. Guess who doesn't? God. He still invites us home. He still invites us to come in. Years ago, people used to hide money under their mattresses. Some farmer, he'd have like $100,000 in bundles under his bed. They thought it was safer there, and it probably was, but money hidden under a mattress doesn't earn interest, right? Money in a bank does, but money under the mattress doesn't. It doesn't grow, it just sits there. That's what hidden sin does. It never gets better by hiding. It only grows heavier. That sin that you're carrying that you think nobody else knows about, you know, the one that God does know about? You think you've got it all tucked away and nobody knows where it is? That becomes an albatross around your neck, becomes a weight that takes you to the bottom of the ocean. That's the suitcase you're lugging around the airport. And all God wants you to do is confess and let him carry it for you. Forgiveness in Christ is complete. Romans chapter 7, Paul says, oh wretched man that I am, the things I don't want to do, I do, and the things I do want to do, I don't. And I know that when I try to do good, I do wrong. Oh wretched man that I am. But then he says, Chapter 8, verse 1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. He just finished talking about how bad he was. He just finished talking about how he couldn't do good no matter how hard he tried. He follows it up with, and by the way, yeah, all of this stuff about me is true, but there's no condemnation for Christ and people who belong to Christ. Notice what he says. It's not less condemnation. It's not reduced condemnation. It's not occasional condemnation. No condemnation. That doesn't mean we're innocent. Because God doesn't condemn us doesn't mean we're innocent. It means Jesus took our guilt. He stood where we should have stood. He went to the cross. That should have been us. Being killed for our sins. That should have been us. He received what we deserved. Think about that for a minute. Every stripe, every blow on the nails from the hammer, all of that is our fault. All of that is my fault. All of that is your fault. We try to hide behind the corporate we, don't we? Well, Jesus came for us. Hey, every time you see the cross, I want you to look at it and say, my sins, Jerry Godsey's sins, put him there. He did it for me because he loved me. Here's the gospel. Jesus paid for what he never did so we could be forgiven for what we have done. Jesus paid for what he never did so that we could receive forgiveness for what we have done. It's the greatest exchange in history. Now, let's talk for a minute about the difference between conviction and condemnation. Okay? The Holy Spirit comes to convict. The Bible study this Wednesday was on the Holy Spirit. People don't really like it when we talk about the Holy Spirit convicting us. You know, they want us to talk about, oh yeah, Jerry, talk about heaven. Talk about God's love. And I'll talk about that whole, conviction thing, because that's uncomfortable. A lot of times what we mistake for conviction is condemnation. And you need to know the difference, okay? Conviction, when the Holy Spirit convicts you, he says, you've sinned, come home. Okay? You've sinned, but I've got a place for you. Come home. Condemnation says, you sinned, stay away. You can't go to church today. You've sinned this week. Well, I got news for you, boss. If this room was only, if the only people allowed in this room were people who hadn't sinned this week, none of us would be here. None of us. Hello? Don't get cocky on me now. None of us. Conviction leads to repentance. Condemnation leads to shame. One comes from the Holy Spirit, the other comes from the enemy. Do not confuse the two. When you sin and you feel that tugging in your heart that says, come on, come on, you're better than that. Come on, let's go get this right. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you, because the Holy Spirit's job is to comfort you, but also to challenge you and make you better. Condemnation comes in and says, you're such a crud. You call yourself a Christian. Look at you. You're not a Christian. And sometimes we let that voice, we think that voice is from God. When has God ever talked to you like that? Show me the verse that, where God says, you're such a crud and a moron that I don't want you to be around me anymore. All we see is the parable of the prodigal son who wasted everything and lost everything and decides to come home in shame. And I love it when the verse says, while he was far away, while he's still way down the road, his father saw him and ran to him. I got news for you. When you sin, God's been sitting on the porch waiting for you to come back every moment you are gone. Every moment. God wants you to confess and come back to him more than you want to confess and come back to him. Imagine dragging an enormous suitcase through LAX. It's heavy. You're sweating. Mom's spaghetti. I don't know where that came from. Your shoulder hurts. People keep looking at you. Finally, someone walks over and says, hey, I work here. Let me carry that for you. But sitting handing it over, you grab it tighter and you say, no thanks. I deserve to carry it. I deserve to carry it. Hours later, you're still dragging it. Let me tell you something. That's on you now. That suitcase stopped being your responsibility the moment someone offered to carry it for you. And that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. He didn't merely offer to take our guilt. He didn't merely offer to carry our suitcase. He carried it all the way to Calvary. The cross wasn't just where Jesus died. The cross was where your guilt was laid. So why are you still dragging what Jesus already carried? Why are you still dragging something that God's forgiven you for? Something that Jesus died for and says, I will take this from you. I'll carry it for you. I've already done it. I've already paid the price. Why are we carrying it still? Why are we letting it poison our lives, poison our relationships, poison the people around us? Poison our relationship with God. Why are we letting guilt do that when Jesus says, hey, you don't have to carry that anymore? Maybe your suitcase is something you said years ago. Maybe it's a failed marriage or an addiction, a terrible decision, a secret that nobody knows about, something you did before you met Christ, something you did after you met Christ. whatever it is, if you've confessed it, if you've repented, now understand repentance. Repentance is not like two kids on the playground got in a fight. Tell Bobby you're sorry. Sorry. You're not sorry. Right? In fact, after school, you're going to get Bobby again and offer him free dental work. I'm going to give him some knuckle bumps. That's not repentance. Repentance is saying, I was going this way. I realized this is the wrong way. This is going to hurt me. This is bad. I'm going to turn around and go the other way. Repentance is a 180-degree turn from the direction you are going. So if you confess it, if you repent, if you've trusted Christ, God isn't asking you to keep praying, to keep paying for what Jesus already paid for. You're in a restaurant, you sit down, you have a nice meal, and you get up to go pay, and they said, somebody already paid for you. Well, no, I need to pay. What? Somebody paid your meal. Yeah, but I need to pay. Don't be stupid. Take the free meal and go. Now maybe you'll say, well, I'll pay for somebody else. But somebody pays for my meal, I'm saying, bingo. Cha-ching. Don't keep reopening a case that God's permanently closed. Well, we do that, don't we? We sin. Jesus forgives us. And then 2 weeks later, we say, yeah, but I remember that sin I did 2 weeks ago. You know who doesn't remember that sin from 2 weeks ago? God. Corrie Ten Boom says that God casts our sins, when he forgives of our sins, he casts them in the sea of forgetfulness and he posts a no fishing sign. Quit fishing for what God's already forgiven you for. And by the way, this doesn't mean you get to go do whatever you want and then just ask God to forgive you. You got to repent. My cousin Mitch and I were, love you Mitch, if you're watching, and I don't think you are, hopefully not. We're in a liquor store one day, and he said, let's get candy. I said, we don't have any money. He said, no, it's okay. I'll steal a candy bar. I said, Mitch, you can't steal a candy bar. That's a sin. I was like 10. And so was Mitch. He says, no, it's okay. I'll steal the candy bar, and that is God to forgive us. Now, I was no theologian at 10 years old, but I was pretty sure that's not the way that's supposed to work. Don't take the freedom that God gives you from guilt and then use it to pile up more guilt. See the difference? So next time you're in the liquor store, put that candy bar down or pay for it one, either one. Little boy's visiting his grandfather's farm, and grandpa gave him a slingshot. Okay? Sure enough, before long, little boy accidentally killed his grandma's favorite duck. You put a boy and a slingshot together, something's going to die. Or get maimed. I mean, it's just going to happen. Panicked, he hid the duck behind the wood pile. Here's the problem. His older sister had seen everything. Narc. Later that day, Grandma asked the sister to help wash the dishes. She smiled. She smiled and she said, I think Johnny wants to do the dishes today. Then she leaned over to him and whispered, remember the duck. Johnny washed the dishes. For days it went on. Johnny, take out the trash. Remember the duck. Johnny, sweep the porch. Remember the duck. Finally, the little boy couldn't take it anymore. He ran to his grandmother, tears streaming down his face, and he confessed everything. Grandma hugged him and said, I know. I was standing at the kitchen window. I saw the whole thing. I forgave you the moment it happened. I was just wondering how long you were going to let yourself be a slave to your sister. We try to hide stuff from God. And the guilt gets heavier and heavier. Finally, I can't take anymore. We go to God and we say, I'm sorry, God. He goes, I know. I saw it all. I forgave you. I just wondered how long you were going to let sin and guilt make you miserable. Exactly what the devil to us. He whispers to us, remember the sin. Remember your failure. Remember what you did. And he beats us about the head and shoulders with that all the time. But Jesus says, I remember it no more. Wow. I remember it no more. Remember your failure? Jesus doesn't. Remember your sin? Jesus doesn't. It's covered by his blood that he shed on Calvary, where he willingly laid down his life so that I could escape guilt. Some of you are exhausted today, not because you're busy, but because you're carrying guilt that Jesus has already nailed to the cross. It's time for a vacation. Not a vacation from responsibility. Not a vacation from holiness. Vacation from carrying what Christ has already carried. Our psalm today started out, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. When I read those words that David wrote, you know what that sounds like to me? That's somebody who's put the suitcase down. That's somebody that's letting God carry it. Today, Jesus is saying to you, to every weary soul, to you, give it to me. Leave your guilt at the cross. Walk away forgiven. Walk away free. And enjoy the vacation Christ purchased with his own blood. Quit dragging your suitcase. Because Jesus paid for what he never did so that you could be forgiven for what you've done. If you're here this morning and you say, you know, Jerry, yeah, that suitcase, I've been carrying that dude, and it's heavy. I've been letting my sin and my failure haunt me. I want to tell you, today is Liberation Day. Today is your day of freedom. Today is the day you walk out of those doors and you say, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Or, you could walk out of those doors, dragging your big 12 sandwich eating suitcase with you, and never know the joy and freedom that God is offering. Your choice. And look, I can't make you do this. If I could, I would. If I could hold a gun to your head and make you do this, I'd do it. I'm just ornery enough, I'd do it. It doesn't work that way. You must freely come to Christ and confess your sin. God, I know you know this already. But let me agree with what you know. Now, God, forgive me. Are you ready for that? To quit carrying this huge weight that's dragging you down, the one that keeps you awake at night, the one that keeps you from enjoying life? Are you ready to leave that behind? If not, why not? And I know. Oh, but Jerry, you don't know what I did. I don't. You tell you something else? I don't care. I don't care what you did. It's not my job. It's my job to tell you, oh, it's going to be okay. No, go to God. Confess. And let God change you. Today, Liberation Day. Father, thanks. What an incredible gift you've given us. We deserve to die. No questions asked. God, we deserve to rot away. But you sent your Son to die for us so that we could live forever. You sent him to take away the things that we did, take the punishment for things he never did. And he bought our freedom with it. So God, I pray right now that you will send your Holy Spirit to convict us. To convict us of the sin that's holding us back. So we can find forgiveness and be released from the guilt that's killing us. The guilt that's slowly poisoning us. God, you are greater. Greater than our sin. Greater than our pride. God, you are greater. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed right now. You know how I am. Don't wait till later. Do it now. God, I confess. I want you to take care of this sin, the sin of unbelief, the sin of being not grateful, or the sin that I'm so afraid that somebody will find out about my hidden sin. God, forgive me. Help me make that 180-degree turn. God, I want freedom from the guilt that's been holding me back. Come on, if that's your prayer, just say it right now. Don't have to be fancy. God, I want freedom. Father, I pray that you will take guilt this morning as we confess. You will do what you've always done for us. You'll send your forgiveness. The forgiveness was paid for by your Son on the cross. God, you'll send that forgiveness and it covers us. The blood of Jesus Christ, we're covered. Thank you for that, God. You're so good to us. Now, Father, I pray a covering over these people. Whether they're here watching on YouTube or wherever, God, I pray a covering over them. That when Satan comes and tries to bring them back to guilt, they will say, no, Jesus has paid the price. I'm forgiven. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Bless us now, God. I pray you'll move in our hearts this week like never before. Thank you, Lord. I ask it in your name. Amen. Where's your suitcase? Don't you take it out that door. Leave that sucker here. We'll go through it and see if we can find anything good. We won't. Where's your suitcase? Love you guys.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You built a mighty fortress till